Day, look at your neighbor and say, I know you're blessed. Look at your next other neighbor and say, you're about to receive something good this morning. You believe that? Well, you're in the right place. Want to welcome everyone in-house and online. And you know I'm here today because Pastor Debbie will be ministering tonight. Don't forget our prayer series on Wednesday night that we began last week. And that's why I'm here today to continue on in the Healing Center. Just want to welcome everyone in-house and online, and I believe that God has something good for us today. How many know he is good, and His Word is good, because Him and His Word are one. Amen. And so, last week we began a series that I entitled God's Remedy, Redemption. And what we're actually doing is we're taking a kind of more of an in-depth look at what Isaiah 53 actually means and teaches us. And although we could take a greater and a deeper look at it than we are, we're hitting the side of it that, or at least in these messages here, that I believe are very important to each of us. And this Isaiah 53, if you're familiar with it, is known is known as the great redemptive chapter in the Bible. And this is why I can say redemption is God's remedy. And that's why we've entitled this series that, because over the next few weeks, we're going to be taking a little deeper dive in Isaiah 53. And so when I say, you know, redemption is God's remedy, it's important that we understand redemption has everything to do with what God did in Christ for all of mankind. And I want to reiterate, all means all. That means you and I, everyone in here. A lot of times when you hear things like that, we just let it go in one ear and go the other and forget that God means us. So everything that we're talking about today, God did in Christ for each of us. And that's good news for us. So I want to remind us, since we're talking about a remedy and redemption, let's define those words again, because I believe it's so important. We did this last week, but we'll put them up for us again. Slide one in defining remedy. Remedy is a medicine or treatment that cures disease. It also can be defined as a medicine, a cure, a deliverance. Amen. Everybody say a cure. Any good that we have one. That's what's exciting to me, that we actually have one, because as much as medical science is good and important, have many wonderful things that we can receive from, unfortunately, many times they fall short on cures, but God doesn't. Amen. And so when medical science is good, once again, as good as it is, says incurable, you and I still not only have hope, but we have a cure. Amen, that God said belongs to us. Amen. And so we're learning about that. That's what a word remedy means. Amen. Then the next slide, slide two, let's define redemption once again so that we understand that this remedy is centered in and around redemption. So it's good that we define this. It means redemption means to ransom, to purchase, to buy, or to redeem. Now, God is saying that He's actually doing this for us. In other words, we're the ones that are in captivity or in bondage, whether we realize that or not. We're held by Satan and all the consequences of sin, which include sickness and disease. This is why redemption was a payment price, a means to purchase, to ransom, or to buy, or to redeem us. We looked at some reasons why the scripture says that last week. We won't this week, but it means further a freedom or deliverance through the payment of the price. Now, in case we are not familiar with the payment of the price, the payment of the price is the blood of Jesus. It's Jesus' death paid the price for our freedom. In the mind of God, that is the ultimate price. And this is why 1 Peter, you can write it down, the first chapter, says that we were not redeemed or bought or purchased with corruptible things like silver and gold. In other words, money could not buy our freedom, cannot buy an eternal destination. You know, when a person dies, and they can have all the money in the world, but when they die, that money stays here. And that money could not purchase the redemption or save their soul, but the blood of Jesus can. But not only can it purchase our soul, but it does so much more for us because it produces a freedom or deliverance through that payment of a price. It conveys the thought of a permanent removal from captivity. So whatever Satan thought he could do to bind us and to hold us captive, Jesus, or God through Christ, made a way where which there's a permanent removal from. Amen. And so, in other words, God's cures are permanent because God's redemption is permanent for us as well. Praise God. And you know, in the world, I said this last week, in the world, many times when people fight battles, and they do, and medical science helps them, and they pronounce a person, you know, they usually don't pronounce a person well. What they say is, you're in remission. And what I've seen, unfortunately, that breeds the thought of, well, good, I'm good for now, but they want you to come back in 6 months. And listen, I'm not telling you everything they ask you to do is wrong. What I'm saying is, if you receive that as your final report, then you're going to always be looking for when that's going to come back. Now, for a case in point of this, years ago, there was a wonderful lady in our church who's in heaven now, wonderful woman. And, you know, but God is not, let me rephrase it. Satan is not a respecter of how good you are. He just hates all humankind. And I never forget, you know, she had fought and won the battle of cancer several times. And I make no light about that. I'm rejoicing in that. And she would come to Healing Center, and all those things. I never forget one day that I went into, you know, I think it's funny sometimes how people see Pastor Debbie and I in Walmart, and they're like, you eat too? Praise the Lord, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, years ago, that's what people actually, like, implied when they saw, so y'all eat too, you know? Like, and so now when I meet somebody, I say, yeah, we eat too, praise the Lord. So I just make a joke of it. They're like, yeah, I know you eat, Pastor Chris. I mean, obviously, we know you eat, but that's why I say that. Pastor Debbie is a wonderful person, but there are certain things you have to take to the cleaners, you know what I'm saying? At least suits and stuff like that, you can't get them clean by throwing them in the wash machine or you won't have a suit, you know what I'm saying? So you take them to the cleaner. So I never forget, I went to the cleaners one day, and there was the lady who waited on me knew that I pastored this church. And she looked at me and she says, oh, I feel so sorry for such and such. And she named the person's name, and I said, and why do you feel so sorry for them? Because they were just in here, and they just, you know, they just reminded me that even though they have won the battle of cancer several times, that the doctors told them they would always have it and ultimately would die from it, and that was the words out of their own mouth. I knew right then that lady would die of cancer. Because out of her own mouth, she said or gave her own verdict that even though that she had been healed several times from cancer and won the battle over it, she would always have it. It would return, and she would ultimately die with it. And within just a couple years, she was in heaven. Now, you don't know who that is, and so don't try to figure that out. This happened many years ago. And so that doesn't mean they're less than. It doesn't mean that they are a wonderful person. That wasn't a wonderful person. It didn't mean that God's healing wasn't real. It meant that they believed some other report than what God's report was for them. And that report that they believed was the path that their life went on. And so this is why I say that we have to understand that healing or redemption which healing is in, is a permanent removal from captivity, and we do not have to be afraid of what the devil has said. Come on. And so this is important for us to understand, because we have to think permanent, not remission, not temporary, not that it's coming back. Because if we believe that, it will come back. And so here's what we have to understand. In the spiritual terms, it is a price paid on the cross for mankind's salvation and freedom. So our remedy, our cure, is in redemption. Amen. It's simply but powerfully in redemption. This is why it's so important that we understand what redemption really means. So what we're doing is find out what the Bible teaches about redemption, and actually what Isaiah 53 means, since it is the great redemption chapter of the Bible, what it means for you and I. So obviously you understand that Isaiah 53 is not the only place that talks about redemption. Okay. Matter of fact, a good example of this is from the very moment that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, Genesis 3:15 was the first messianic prophecy that was not only known as a messianic prophecy, but is the prophecy that in declaring the Messiah will come, the reason the Messiah had to come was to redeem you and I. So it the Bible begins with the moment man fell, God's plan of redemption, and all through the scripture, this is what the Bible could be called, God's great plan of redemption. And Isaiah 53 is not the only place, obviously, that we understand that redemption is mentioned, because this verse is mentioned, amen, not just here, but it's mentioned in Matthew, it's mentioned in 1 Peter. It's quoted and illustrated both by word and example in the life and ministry of Jesus. We'll talk some more about that in future messages. But let's look in Isaiah 53 verse 4. If we look there together and read this from the King James Version, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did see him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted." On the surface here, we find that when we say this, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, we can rejoice for that. That sounds really good. But when we do a deeper dive in this and we look at the word, what the word bore, and we found it last week, it's the word nasa, which means to lift off, to carry off, or to remove. But our griefs, the word griefs and sorrows are translated repeatedly differently through the Old Testament. And so a literal translation of this verse, and we did a little deeper dive last week, but time's sake, we won't this week. But let me give you the literal translation of Isaiah 53:4. It says, "Truly he has taken away our sicknesses and carried away our pains." He took away our sickness and carried away our pains. It would be better translated that. Amen. Because this is exactly what the Hebrew is saying. Praise God. And so what we need to understand is that when man saw Jesus suffer on the cross, he saw something different than what God saw. And what God intended for us to see and understand is exactly what Isaiah 53 says. So, in other words, what I mean by that, man saw Jesus suffer and die the death of a guilty criminal. Amen. Actually, it even states that in Isaiah 53. But it doesn't just stop there. It lets us know that God reveals from Isaiah 53 what he wanted us to see and know what he really did for us. And it's this. He has taken away our sickness and carried away our pains. Let's look at verse 5 here together of Isaiah 53. "For he is wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." So the very first part here tells us that the very part of redemption that we're all are very familiar with, or most people, most Christians are really familiar with, this first part will shout amen, and it has to do with the forgiveness of sins. And I'm not downplaying that. I'm saying thank God for forgiveness of sins, because I, like you, need them. Amen. And we have them, and I'm thankful for that, aren't you? And so it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." Now, we couldn't see that But God saw that and is revealing that to us. When he was bruised, when he was wounded, it was for our sins. He was paying a price to redeem us for our sins. The guilty, it was known as the substitutionary work of Calvary. The innocent took the place of the guilty. Amen. So that the guilty could go free. So that the guilty become innocent about by putting their faith in what the innocent did for the guilty. Notice it goes on, it says, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, we know that the first part talked about the forgiveness of our sins. This other part tells us very clearly that by his stripes we are healed. All right. Now, one thing that comes to me, and I wasn't even going to talk about this today, is so many in the Christian world will discount this. They'll say this is true, but the healing here, they say, is not a physical healing. It's a spiritual healing. Well, let me tell you something that is totally inaccurate, because number one, you can't be spiritually healed. You're spiritually made new. Your spirit isn't healed when you're born again. Your spirit is made new. Your body is what needs to be healed. Amen. And throughout the scripture, it proves that the scripture proves the scripture. Not man's opinion. The scripture proves the scripture that when Jesus, in other words, for instance, the commentary on this verse to let us know beyond what it's plainly stated is illustrated in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, and I'll quote it for you. It said, when evening was come, they brought unto him, Jesus, many that was possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it may be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took away our sicknesses and himself removed our diseases. That's exactly what it says. So beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Bible teaches us what God meant. God's word teaches us what God meant so that we would not be duped by a man saying, well, this is true, but this means something other than physical healing. It means spiritual healing or emotional healing. Well, I want you to know redemption is complete. But it also, and because it is complete, what you'll find today, it means that exactly what it says, by stripes we have been, his intent was to physically heal us. Amen. This chapter clearly describes Christ's great substitutionary work on the cross by which God dealt with everybody say every sin, and every consequence of it, including sickness, pain, and disease, and the suffering associated with it. Remember, church, there was no such thing as sickness and disease and suffering before the fall of man, and sin brought that in. Sin brought that in. No such thing of any of those things, but it is now because of the fall of man. But this is why Jesus Christ came, because in coming, the cross dealt with it. There's nothing that ever happened or will happen in our lives, or that is happening in our lives, that the cross did not deal with. Aren't you glad? And this is what this is teaching us. So today, the title of today's message is a little longer introduction than maybe I'm playing, but amen, you pull real good. Amen. Praise God. So today's message title is God's Declaration of Freedom. And Isaiah 53 needs to be proclaimed and seen as God's declaration of freedom. Amen. And when we receive it as such, it would destroy the fear and sin consciousness as well as sickness and produce faith, strength, and healing in its hearers. Now, I'm going to say that again because I think it's so important. When we see and receive Isaiah 53 is God's declaration of freedom, it would destroy the fear and the sin consciousness. You know, fear is the number one strategy of the enemy. Other than deception, fear is our greatest enemy he uses against us, because he brings those things. Fear is opposite of faith, and that's what he uses to destroy us. And I said fear and sin consciousness. And sin consciousness is one of our great enemies, because Satan has a really good strategy and scheme of making us feel unworthy, reminding us of our past when we should know it's not existent if we've repented of it. You know, the sin consciousness and faith do not cohabit. This is why you and I are attacked by sin consciousness and the unworthiness that sin brings. But the good news is, this is why the blood of Jesus was shed, so the things we repented of, God said he takes our sins, Isaiah 38:17, and throws them behind his back, never to remember them anymore. He throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. And he removes them as far as the east is from the west. And so all those things are powerful for us, not to live in sin consciousness, but righteous consciousness. And we're righteous not because we're perfect, but because he is perfect. And we put our faith in what the blood of Jesus has done to redeem us. And so when we see Isaiah 53 as such, as God's declaration of freedom, it will destroy the fear. It would destroy the sin consciousness and ultimately the sickness. Because when we live in fear and in sin consciousness, it opens the door to sickness and disease. This is why you have to close the door on fear. You have to close the door. That's why I said you have to address that thing that says remission. You have to address the thing that says incurable. Because with it is fear. And you also have to address the thing of sin consciousness, because sin consciousness will rob you of your faith, because you're always looking why you can't have what God says belongs to you, or that he died to provide, because the devil's always reminding you that you don't deserve it. Well, we don't deserve it in the natural. It has nothing to do with I deserve. It has to do with what did God do to give this to me? And me and you just receive it. That is not a scapegoat to live any way we want. You can't live any way you want and get from God what he's provided. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, because you find out that you are a new creature in Christ, because you find out that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, no longer are you going to live with a sin-conscious mentality and live in your past. You cannot allow the devil to do that, because what that does is that keeps the door open to sickness and disease. So you got to address those things, and you address them with the Word of God. But if we receive Isaiah 53 is God's declaration of freedom, it'll destroy the fear, the sin consciousness, and the sickness, and it will produce faith, strength, and healing in all of its hearers. In all of its hearers. This is why that we're talking about those things and we're repeating them. We're taking our time on this week after week and looking at these things, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not having heard. So it's what you hear and continue to hear that produces faith. Not, you can't live on yesterday's manna. Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we have to hear the Word of God daily. Just like the children of Israel got a manna daily, we've got to get our manna daily. Hallelujah. We're not going to live on yesterday's promise. Even though this is true today, we have to remind ourselves of this, and we have to make sure that is what we're standing on. That is what we are resisting the devil on. And this is how what we are enforcing Satan's defeat and our victory. We do it with the Word of God. So Isaiah 53 dismantles every lie from Satan or elsewhere. I think that's important. Isaiah 53 dismantles every lie or deception from Satan or elsewhere. Because when I say elsewhere, it could be your neighbor. It could be your best friend. It could be the person that you just met today in the line at Walmart, and you were just being kind and you said something and they started talking about something, and that what they said was either directly something that put a thought in your mind that was opposite of the Word of God, or triggered a thought that the devil would insert to suggest, oh, this is you, and healing doesn't belong to you, and you can't be sure. and all those things. We have to make sure that we understand what Isaiah 53 is doing. It is dismantling. It is destroying every lie from Satan and elsewhere that sickness has any legal claim or right to remain in the believer's life. Any legal claim or right to remain in the believer's life. You know, in the world that we live in today, there's a lot of people that are fighting for all kind of rights. The right that you and I need to fight for is the rights that God says. That's the ones that we're to fight for. Amen? And that's why we're to use that faith. Because we win that fight, it's called the good fight of faith, by enforcing Satan's defeat and walking in the victory that Jesus provided for us. Can I get an amen? So Isaiah 53 is the heartbeat of redemption. In other words, that's why it works. You know, I know everybody thinks Chevrolet is the heartbeat of America. You know what I'm saying? The commercial. And I'm not against that. I'm not saying Chevy's not good. Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying God, they stole a good thought. And this is why redemption is the heartbeat of redemption. Isaiah 53 is the heartbeat of redemption because it shows us why it works. It's the power behind it. Amen. It reveals when he bore our sins, he bore our diseases. Aren't you glad? When he bore our sins, we know he did. We also know he bore our sicknesses and our diseases. When he removed our sins, he took them himself. He also removed our sicknesses and diseases. He took them himself. And as it says, bore, Nasser, he lifted them off. He removed them. And what he bore, we need not bear. Come on. I know Satan wants to make you and I his pack mule. But legally, Jesus did something to remove that so we wouldn't have to bear what Christ already removed or bore for us. When he carried our iniquities, he also carried and removed our pains. To separate, this is what we have to understand, to separate one from the other is to divide and devalue the work of Christ on the cross. And no one has the right to devalue or to divide the work of Christ on the cross. Much of the church has accepted half of redemption. You know, and I'm not putting down my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm telling you and I, as my brother and sister, we have a full redemption, not a half redemption. Come on. And just because some people don't know it or don't receive it, don't mean that it's not real. The things that hinder us many times is we listen to people that don't accept things that God freely offers as if that's the final say, if that's the truth. That's not the truth, though. And so so much of the church, too much of the church, has accepted half of redemption. In other words, they've accepted salvation from sins. They'll stand forever on that, and we should, but have neglected the other half, the healing for the body. And they do that for various reasons, none of which are scriptural, and most of it comes based upon either feelings or experiences. Especially experiences that happen with other people that are close to them. They say, well, if, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know what, if that person, you know, I'll give you both sides of it. I've heard people say, well, if that person ain't in heaven, then I don't have a chance. I heard a person say one time, came to my old boss who's in heaven now. And he came to me one day, and he says, you know what, so-and-so died, they're a member of whatever of the church, and so on and so forth. And I tell you one thing, that person ain't in heaven, I don't have a chance. And we say, well, you know what, you don't get in heaven based upon what they've done, you get in based in heaven what Jesus done. See, but we have those kind of thoughts, they're incomplete, they're religious thoughts, but they're damning many times to our soul, because, no one's good works get them into heaven. But what gets us in heaven is putting our faith in the work of Christ. Not our works, but the work of Christ. Amen. But the same thing is, sometimes people say, well, you know what? That person, well, if that person isn't healed, then nobody will ever be healed. Ooh, wait one minute. If anybody believed God, they will believe in God, and they died. Well, wait one minute. Listen, you've taken somebody's experience and you've made that the gospel instead of what the Word says. I'm not discounting that person wasn't a good person. I'm not discounting that person wasn't saved. I'm not discounting that person was believing for healing. But somewhere, something's missing. Whether it's them or me, get it straight. We can miss it. God doesn't. Let's learn to go to the highest level. Let's learn to receive God's highest and His best. Redemption is God's highest and His best. And He said what He meant. And so a lot of times people base other people's experiences. You've heard me tell the story. I received a phone call on a Wednesday night before I'm getting ready to preach. This is years and years ago. And the person was crying on the phone. Said, "Pastor Chris." I said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Well, I just came back from the doctor and I got a bad report." And I just listened to them and they said, "I got a bad report." And you know, I'm probably just as sympathetic and compassionate as the next person in this room, maybe more so than most. So I'm listening. But they said, and here's what they said. He says, and I said, "So why I understand why you're upset." But and then they said, well, so-and-so else died of that same thing. And I said, "What was that?" And I let them finish. And I said, "Get yourself together. What does that have to do with you? What does that have to you that so-and-so died of it?" I said, "What does that have to do with you?" I said, "You are looking at an example and an experience that nowhere does God tell you to look at. Matter of fact, God gave you 66 books to look at. And He said, look unto Jesus, all the perfecting of your faith. Consider Him, not somebody else's experience." What does somebody else's experience have to do with you, have you of dying, unless you believe it? In other words, it doesn't have anything. Them not getting it doesn't have anything to do with you not getting your healing unless you believe it for that. And so it's important that we understand that there are various reasons why people have, you know, but nobody would ever say that believes in salvation for sins would ever say that person, in other words, they understand that in order to get to heaven and be forgiven of their sins, they have to repent and ask God to forgive them. They would never conclude that God wouldn't heal somebody. I mean, would not save somebody that would repent of their sins, but they're quick to say, "Well, we can't be sure whether God wants anybody healed." Matter of fact, we can pray and ask God, "If it be your will you heal so-and-so?" But how many know that's an unscriptural prayer? "If it be thy will" is not a prayer you should tack on to anything except the consecration of your life to God's will, and you should know what God's will is. In other words, God's will is revealed in Isaiah 53, and forgiveness of sins and healing are part of it. So we've heard preach forgiveness as certain and healing as uncertain, but the scripture doesn't teach that. Once again, if we put up Isaiah 53 verse 4 in the King James Version, it says surely. Everybody say surely. Surely, and we looked at last week, surely means certainly. It means truly. That's what the word surely means. Surely means certainly, or it means truly. The scriptures teach us that healing is as sure, as certain, and as true as forgiveness. No one argues. I mean, you would help a person day in and day out if they were struggling with the forgiveness of sins and say, look, you would turn them and say, listen, God says if you confess your sins, God's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You would help that person. You would sit there and say, God said, oh, He'll forgive you whatever you ask. You just got to receive that. That's what you to believe and receive that. But we should do the same thing about sickness and disease, because here it is. Surely, certainly, truly, it's as true as forgiveness. Both were purchased at the same time, and because it's part of redemption, healing is a legal right. Praise God. In fact, healing is much as a legal right for the believer as salvation is for the sinner. We better know it. Healing is much as a redemptive right or legal right for the believer as forgiveness is and salvation is for the sinner. God wants people, he wants his people well. Matter of fact, he wants the world well too. This is, he died, all of this is for the whole world. Isaiah 53 is God's declaration of both forgiveness of sins and the healing of our bodies as the legal right for every believer. Look at your neighbor and say, it's your legal right. And according to Isaiah 53, healing is a redemptive right and is a legal, this word is a legal document for the believer's healing, written in by the blood of Jesus. It is a spiritual contract ensuring healing as well as the forgiveness of sins. And we need to see it as such. Let's put up slide 5, and we're going to define contract one moment. Because contract, remember I said it's a spiritual contract, ensuring healing as well as forgiveness of sins. Contract, by definition, is an agreement that specifies certain legally enforceable rights and obligations pertaining to one or more parties. I say that again because I know you want to write that down. Praise God. And so many times it helps because I go fast. So we slow down a moment. It's an agreement. Contract is an agreement that specifies certain legally enforceable rights, two of which is forgiveness and healing, and obligations pertaining to one or more parties. Amen. And when it comes to healing, we must see healing as a legally enforceable right of ours that God has obligated himself to perform on our behalf. We got to see it that way. As a legally enforceable right of ours that God has obligated himself to perform on our behalf. This is exactly what the scripture teaches us. Hallelujah. So we're going to go to the next level on this, a little deeper. Amen. Let's look at slide 6. And when I say legal, it's very important that we understand these terms because God binds himself by his word. He does things legally. He redeemed us and he'll heal us legally. Satan will never stand before God and say, you were unjust in doing this for man. Nope. Everything God has done is legally. This is why we can ensure it can be ours. So legal means established by law. God's law is his word. When I say legal means established by law, let's think about it. What law are we talking about? God's law. God's word is God's law. And therefore reveals our legal right to healing. This is what Isaiah 53 is all about. This is why we should camp here and park here. We see it here in Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53 is that law. Healing is not God's reward, listen to me, for being perfect. You better be glad of that, and I better be glad of that. So stop thinking healing is God's reward for being perfect. It is not God's reward for being perfect, but his expression, I'm going to add to it now, his expression of justice and a legal claim to healing. It is his expression of justice and our legal claim to healing. So healing like forgiveness of sin was not a favor that God did for man. It was justice that he executed. So let's define justice. Slide 7 tells us, we look at this next. Let's look at this. Justice is the fair and reasonable administration of law by authority. I'll say that again. Is the fair and reasonable administration of law by authority. So in other words, in case God himself. So in other words, what God did in Christ was not only fair, but it's reasonable in the sense that no one, is including Satan, will ever say that God did this in an illegitimate way. That means that he will never be rebuked by providing a redemption that not only would forgive us of our sins, but also heal us of our diseases and pay the price, pave the way for both to be for all mankind. That's how powerful it is. And justice did that. You and I better be glad of justice. And God's justice is always right, and it is the fair and reasonable administration of law by authority. So when Satan wants to tell you that you're unjust of even asking for this, you say, it's fair. God wants me to do is side in with him and believe what he's done for me by his justice. Jesus dying on the cross was a means of God's justice to redeem us. It was the legal means that you and I could be set free from everything that Satan bound us by. Woo! Glory to God. I'm so glad. This is how God himself views the forgiveness of sins and the healing of our bodies as justice. And all because of what Jesus did on the cross. The cross was God's justice in action and verdict passed down to us. Hallelujah! The verdict is out and we're free. We should celebrate. Today is a celebration that the verdict, the justice has been declared and the verdict passed down and we're not guilty. And everything that God wanted to do for us was explicitly showed on the cross. What we deserve, Christ bore and lifted away so that what he died to remove, amen, and Jesus, God wanted for us to begin with to provide, we could have. Forgiveness, salvation, healing. It's just part of that package, but that's the part we're focusing on in redemption here. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm so glad, aren't you? Hallelujah. Jesus bore. He removed. He lifted off. He carried away both sin and sickness. And he removed the right for either to remain and keep us bound. Woo! Glory to God. He removed the right for either to return and to keep us bound. Redemption was a matter of justice. See, I want us to think differently about this. I want us to think in legal terms, in terms of justice. We may, you know, in the day that we live in today, we get so tired of injustices. We get so tired of the legal system being broke. You know what we want to do? The devil plans it that way, so we throw the baby out with the bathwater. And we should not do that because we need to understand what true justice is. And true justice is determined by a judge. And the judge I'm talking about is Almighty God. Because he is not only the loving Father, which he is, but he is also just and the judge of all the earth. And if we want to know what true justice is, true righteousness is, we can only find it by what God says. Not in a broken system, not in lawfare and all these other things that go on and we get so tired of it that we just want to, like I say, throw the baby out of the bathwater. Yes, we should pray. Yes, we must stand for what is right. But we must understand that there is true judgment, there is true justice, and there's true things that are legally done for our benefit. And we must know them because those are the things that set us free. Redemption was a matter of justice. Man owed a debt that he could not pay, but God himself picked up the tab. Aren't you glad? Isn't it refreshing? You go to a restaurant, you're eating, and all of a sudden the waitress comes, amen, and says, just want you to know there's no, I said, could we have the bill we want to pay and leave in just a moment? And they says, well, I just let you know your tab's already been picked up. Isn't that a good feeling when that's happened? Hey, man, that's wonderful. The only better feeling of that is that when you could do that for somebody else.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
But it's wonderful to have that. Here's what I want us to understand, both sides of what I just said. I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to say it again. Redemption was a matter of justice. Mankind owed a debt that we could not pay. God himself picked up the tab. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That should make us glad, isn't it? Amen. But the only thing that's greater than that, the person that paid for it, how they feel. That's how God thinks about you and I. He's thrilled. He wants you and I to stop thinking we got to pay for, earn, or cannot ever obtain to what he already picked up the tab for. It's like us going back up and saying, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. Well, I can't help it. They've already paid it. They've already left. No, we can't do that. We got to pay it ourselves. Well, go ahead and be foolish. No, we need to rejoice. Get on the phone. You know, sometimes they say, well, they're going to tell you. They don't want you to know who it is. Well, that may be too late. I might have already seen them in there. Praise the Lord. But anyway, it doesn't make a difference. The truth is, we already seen him in there. It's God who picked up the bill. Come on. We ought to be glad of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is why redemption is not only God's remedy, but also his declaration of freedom and our freedom from sin, sickness, and disease. Everybody say amen in that. We must see healing being a redemptive right as much as the forgiveness of our sins is. And remember, it is both legal and a means of justice. In other words, forgiveness of sins and healing are both legal and a matter of God's justice. Hallelujah. The same cross that legally forgave sins is the same cross that legally heals our bodies. We just have to receive it. Hallelujah. We have to believe it and receive it. This is why Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12 in the Amplified translation says, but by his own blood, having found and secured a complete redemption, an everlasting release for us. Notice here, it calls it a complete redemption. An everlasting release for us. It sounds like a declaration of freedom to me. How about you? That's what it sounds like. It was never meant to be seen as a partial redemption. Come on. It was never intended. Man may preach it that way, but it was never intended to be seen as a partial redemption. What do you mean a partial redemption? Well, right here says a complete redemption. It was never meant to be seen a partial redemption and meaning forgiveness only. Or forgiveness now and healing sometime in heaven. No, it was a complete, a total, and a perfect redemption. It means nothing missing. Nothing that you and I would need for in this life or to come has not been already provided and made for us by the finished work of Calvary. It's the reason called a finished work is because there's nothing that needs to be done to it to improve on it or to give us something that we would need. It's final, complete. It's been provided. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Isaiah 53 declares Jesus' obedience at the cross of redemption made everything we talked about today possible. It was the means to an end, and God legally providing healing for you and I. And because it's part of God's justice, healing is as irreversible as forgiveness of sins are. I'm going to say that again. Because it's part of redemption, or healing is part of justice, healing, therefore, is as irreversible as forgiveness of sins are. Hallelujah. The good news is, if you need forgiveness of sins today, you can get it. If you need it tomorrow, you can get it. Same thing is true with healing. If you need it today, you can get it. If you need it tomorrow, you can get it. Hallelujah. That's good news. Because of this, healing is not a promise to be fulfilled. It is a truth to be acknowledged. Come on, I'm going to say it again. Because of this, healing is not a promise to be fulfilled. As far as God's concerned, it is a truth that you and I must acknowledge. So healing doesn't come by begging or wishing. It comes by knowing it's legally yours and mine and us receiving it. And once you know healing is part of redemption, you'll understand it's part of your inheritance. And inheritance is part of God's legal system, ensuring it belongs to you and I. Ensuring that what God has given, we can rightfully get. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Isaiah 53 reveals this inheritance, God's legal means to forgive, to save, and to heal mankind. And that means includes you and I. Aren't you glad? Yes. When we understand this, we won't see healing. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. When we understand what I taught today, we won't see healing as a miracle for a select few, but an inheritance for the many who will simply believe and receive it. Ha! Glory to God! I'm going to say that again. It's so important. When we understand what Isaiah 53 teaches us, amen. When we see it, when we understand it, we won't see healing as a miracle for a select few, because that's what many people think it is. Well, you know, healing is a miracle for a select few. Some people get it, some people don't. We don't know. We leave it all up to God. Well, you'll never get yours, because God has already said what He's done. He's expecting us to know and receive it. If we say we're going to leave it up to God whether we're saved or not, what's going to happen to us? We're going to die and go to hell. Because as far as God's concerned, He's already paved the way for our salvation. He already paid the price. He tells us that we must know it and receive it. The same way we got to receive Christ as a healer, the same way we receive Christ as a Savior. So it is not, healing is not a miracle for a select few, but an inheritance for the many who would simply believe and receive it. It could be for everybody, but the reason I say it's for the many is because not everybody will, but everybody can. Will simply believe and receive it. Isaiah 53, I'm almost finished. Wake up your neighbor to say he's almost finished. Praise the Lord. I know you're not sleeping here today. Praise God. And thank you for being online today and pulling as well. Praise God. You know, Isaiah 53 is a revelation of the Father's will. And the Father's will for every believer is perfect soundness in spirit, soul, and body. Now, you can write this down. This comes to me, but they're not going to put it up. But 3 John 2 says, this is why it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. It's God's will that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. What we believe, what we allow our minds to be persuaded to receive and believe will determine whether we receive this completeness and wholeness that God has already provided for us through Jesus Christ. Because it is God's will. The Isaiah 53 is a revelation of the Father's will. Jesus died to make that known to us and to execute and to reveal the Father's will. Once I know God's will, I only have to decide to believe His word. Come on. Once I know what His will is, and His word, listen, is a revelation of His will. Once I know what God's will is, I only have to decide to believe His word. Faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. First and foremost, a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. Once I know God's will, I only have to decide to believe His word. And as Jesus declared to the centurion in Matthew 8:13, 2,000 years ago, He'll say to us again, Go thy way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. That's listen, right here lets us know the invariable law of faith, meaning the unchanging law of faith and how it works. Go your way, and as you have believed, so shall it be done unto you. What you believe will be done unto you. This is what it says. This is the invariable or the unchanging law of faith. We may not like it, but that's how it works. This is why Healing Center is so important, because Healing Center is persuading you to believe God's word. Not man's opinion, not man's theory, not your feelings, not some other report, not what your grandmama told you, but what God's word tells you. I'm not against grandma. Amen. Grandma pointed you to the word, and I hope she did. But what we must understand, that God's unchanging and invariable law is, go thy way, here it is, as you believed, so be it done unto you. Our job is to believe. Our job is to receive what has God already provided right now. We receive it right now. There has to be a time that we say we receive that right now. We believe we have that right now, and you're willing to stand on it, your promise on the Word of God. That's what you have to stand on. Not a maybe, not a hope so, not a one day, but a surely, a certainly, and a truly. This is mine. Healing belongs to me, and I have a scripture, and I have the Word to stand on. Praise God. It's our job to believe, to receive it now. What God has already provided is God's job is to perform it. He said if you'll believe it, He'll perform it. See, if you're waiting for it to change before you believe it, that's not faith. God demands we believe it before we feel it or see it. And then he said we'll have it. Faith is the stand between believing and receiving and having. But you must have all of that in the equation. You believe, receive now, you stand, he said you have. As far as you're concerned, you have it. Your stand of faith says, I have it. I believed, I received it. And God says, when you do that, I'll perform it in you. This is why Healing Center is so important, because you're renewing your mind. You're setting yourself in a way, setting yourself up for success and saying, I'm not allowing my mind to think a different way. I'm not allowing my heart to be persuaded by feelings, by other words. I'm allowing the Word to dominate me and be the means of my faith alone. Hallelujah. Healing is not a reward for being worthy or good. It is a legal right of redemption. Means it was paid for on the cross. That's why it's legal right of redemption. It was paid for on the cross. And it is part of God's justice. In other words, it's heaven's court has already issued a final verdict. And God's verdict is in saying, I call you whole. And it is a part of our God-given inheritance. And inheritance simply means this: something freely given by another to be received, used, and treated as their own. This is what God wants us to see healing as. I'm going to say it again. It's a part of that God-given inheritance. It is something freely given. Inheritance is something freely given by another to be received, used, and treated as their own. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. This is why Isaiah 53 is God's declaration of freedom and God telling us healing, like forgiveness, belongs to you and I. It is simple to receive. And here's how. Faith is found in two places, our heart and our mouth. Stop waiting to feel something. Believe something. Believe something first. You'll feel something later. Feeling is not the evidence that you're healed or not healed. The Word is. Let the Word be. If you're waiting to feel, you shouldn't wait to feel. That's walking by sight. We are walking by feelings. We're called to walk by faith. And if we walk by faith, we will receive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But there is a stand. So it's not hard to receive. Just think about this. Redemption was provided for forgiveness of sins. If you need forgiveness of sins, what do? You hear that he will forgive you. You learn that you have to repent. That means you turn from your way. You truly mean, God, I'm sorry for what I did. I repent. I change my heart and mind about my sin. I call it what you call it. I call it sin. And I turn from that and I ask for your forgiveness. Now, when you do that, what does God say he'll do? Forgive us. But you know what you have to do? You have to receive it. He said, he already told us what he would do ahead of time. Faith just receives what he's given. And you know what? I see people all the time. They experience the joy of that forgiveness. They might not understand it all, but they experience the joy of that forgiveness. I see other people that sometimes they say, you know what, Pastor Chris, I know this is real, but I didn't feel anything. I said, don't let that bother you. Look what the Word says. The Word says, did you receive? Oh, yeah, I received it. I believed it. Then now just lift your hands and begin to thank him for it. And then the feel will become real. You act on the Word. You can't act on the Word long and it not show up. Come on. God watches over his Word to perform it. So what we must understand, the same way, why do you talk about forgiveness? Because as simple as forgiveness was, God offers it, you ask him to forgive you, amen, and you receive that forgiveness, amen, and then you say, Lord, thank you for doing that, and you go free, hallelujah. Not free to go back doing what you did before, free to understand that your sins are not counted against you any longer, and that God is forgiving you and cleansing you, and you're righteous before God. Now let's flip it to the other side of healing. Why did I say it's simple? Because we have found out that it's God's will to heal us. If it wasn't, Christ died in vain. He did not die in vain. He died on purpose. Not only for the forgiveness of our sins, but the healing of our bodies. But what that means is that now that he died to provide that, as far as God's concerned, it already belongs to us. That means that we don't have to beg for it. All we have to know what he did and then receive it. How do we receive it? By faith. And faith is always in two places, in our heart and our mouth. So there has to be an expression. The first place your faith is always going to be released is in your mouth. If you're unwilling to say it, you won't have it. Your faith acknowledges what God says is yours and you believe. This is why you can't be silent and win. Silence is surrender. Silence isn't faith. Faith is always expressed in word and action. In the first place, action is going to be is in your mouth. This is why the confession of your faith is vital. So you believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, and it says you shall be saved. Isn't that what it says? Salvation is the result of it. Same thing with healing. So we just simply have to say, if healing is offered, and I need healing in my body, you say, God, right now, I believe. This is one way to do it. Yeah, or you could, listen, this is one way to do it. It's just simple. I'm just trying to make it simple for you. Just the way you receive. I know what your word says, and today I need healing. So, God, I believe I receive what already you've given. Just like salvation has already been given. All you're doing is receiving it. Healing's already been forgiven. And, Lord, right now, I believe I receive healing in my body for whatever's going on. You could say it what it is, or you don't have to say it. I just believe I received. And you receive it. And you begin to thank him. You begin to praise him. And you begin to act like what he said is true and it belongs to you. And the number one way you act that way is by what you say. You don't get out in the car and say to yourself or to somebody, or you call them on the phone, Where'd you go today? I went to the healing center. It was so awesome. What did the pastor preach on? Well, he preached on Isaiah 53 and redemption. And he prayed for me. Well, what happened? Well, I hope I got healed. Well, you didn't, because hoping ain't faith. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to get us to understand. We got to believe we receive. You don't hope you got a car when you go to that parking lot today. You know you got a car. You ain't hoping you got a car. Or you ain't getting nowhere. Come on. You be riding with somebody else. Nobody walks out here and say, well, where are you going? Well, I hope I'm going home. I don't know if I got a car. No, you know you got a car. That's how you know you're going to go home. You know you can be healed because healing belongs to you. Let's stand to our feet today. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We bless you. Does that make sense? Now today, if you need healing in your body, I want you to come. If you need it and you haven't already received it, then I want you to come for whatever it is. If you haven't already received it, you could already receive it sitting there. But if you haven't already received it, I want this to be a point of contact that you release your faith and believe you receive it. You